You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. As coronavirus infections rise in some parts of the world, health experts are watching for a potential new COVID-19 surge here in the United States, and they're wondering just how long it will take to detect. Joining us today to talk more about that and to also answer your questions is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And remember, if you have questions for Dr. Pate, email us right now, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So, Dr. Pate, can you get us up to date on where we are with BA.2? This is this new COVID-19 variant. In fact, I mean, we are seeing lockdowns. I mean, Shanghai, for example, this goes back to China's zero tolerance of the coronavirus and has put this city in lockdown. I mean, that's severe compared to other areas of the country. But I believe Britain has seen more hospitalizations than they have in more than a year.
Well, Gemma, you're correct. So just to bring all the listeners up to speed, we're talking about BA2. BA2 is a sublineage of Omicron. So it's related to what we just went through here in Idaho and the United States, which was BA1. The reason why BA2 is still a concern is, number one, it's more transmissible than what we just went through, BA1. In fact, the estimates are really placing this variant up pretty darn close to the most contagious virus that we deal with here in the United States, which is measles. And the other reason why it's a concern is one might think that, well, if you got an Omicron surge with one sublineage, then you won't get it with the other. But as you mentioned, with the UK and China, there are many countries who had a very significant surge with BA1, like we had, but now are coming off of big surges with BA2. And one of the countries that right now looks like it's getting ready to have kind of a big takeoff on BA2 is Canada, which is obviously close to home. In the United States, the reason that we're concerned is that the proportion, although our infections are going down, the proportion of those infections is shifting to BA2. So a month ago, BA2 was just shy of 28%, 3 weeks ago, 42%, 2 weeks ago, 57%, and it's now up to 72%, with the highest distribution being on the coast. So while we haven't seen that take off here in the United States like it has in others, and I can't be sure that it will, on the other hand, I can't think of a good reason why it won't. So we have to watch very closely.
Also, can we talk about what some health experts are concerned with? And this is really being able to detect or know if and when there will be another surge. And this is because some recent developments. So let me break this down. More people are taking rapid COVID-19 tests at home, right? So that means they're not necessarily reporting. The CDC is soon going to be using fewer labs to look for new variants. And then on top of that, wastewater surveillance programs, according to some, remain a patchwork that you can't necessarily get all the data that you need from it to understand when a surge is coming. And then on top of that, Dr. Pate, White House officials say the government's running out of funds for vaccines and treatments and testing. So this doesn't seem to necessarily be boding well.
Well, Gemma, I think that's an astute observation. I think that if you really wanted to take COVID seriously and you really wanted to stay on top of it and inform the public and take the appropriate measures, then obviously these are not the things you would be doing. And so, I think many of us are concerned about the fact that much of the public seems to be under the impression that, you know, we're kind of past this, or at least past anything that would need to be of concern, that we're not going to have big surges ahead. And I just don't feel confident about that at all. And so I certainly hope that's the case. But, you know, certainly those that tout herd immunity, I think there's little question that there's no place in the world that has achieved herd immunity, certainly not here in the United States, where we come in something on the order of about 65th in ranking for vaccination rates. And this virus continues to mutate and form new variants. And in fact, new studies are showing it's doing so faster than the influenza virus, which we all know mutates every year. So these are all concerns. I think that it is going to mean that whenever we're looking at COVID data, we're going to have to take it with a grain of salt. We have to know that it's being underreported. And plus, there's a lot of people who, because they're convinced that you know, COVID is not a big deal and we're not doing so much contact tracing and people don't have to isolate it or quarantine, that there's a lot of people who are just saying, why bother getting tested at all? So no doubt we're underestimating cases, which makes it very hard for us to tell the public where we are.
Mm. So speaking of that as where we are, our numbers have gone down here in the Treasure Valley. So as of today, where are we in regards to being in a low risk situation or not?
Yeah, you know, and we have the same limitations here, Gemma, that we just spoke about. But mm-hmm. when you put everything together and look at what cases are being identified, and particularly what are our primary care and urgent care providers seeing? What are the hospitals seeing? It does appear that all signs are we're in a pretty good place for the moment right here in Idaho. We have fairly low counts. We have a low testing percentage positivity. And so I'm very grateful for that. We're in a very good place, relatively speaking, right now. The question is the one that you posed earlier. When is that going to change? When are we going to mm-hmm. have our next surge? Is it going to be BA2, or is it going to be any one of the other things that we're starting to identify around the world? One doesn't know.
We have a lot of questions coming in. We will get to them in a moment. But before we do, Dr. Pate, I want to talk about precautionary measures in regards to the fact that right now we look to be in a fairly good place here in the Treasure Valley, and across the country and around the world, frankly, a lot of precautionary measures have been put aside: masking, social distancing, etc. How then, if someone has made the decision right now to say, you know what, numbers look good, I'm not going to wear a mask all of the time anymore, what advice would you give people for when to go back to using some of those precautionary measures if and when we start to see our numbers go back up?
Yeah, it's a good question, Gemma. And of course, many people are looking for a break. And if you're one of those people and you're going to take somewhat of a break, you know, this is obviously a better time to do it than most other times. But as you said, you've got to watch carefully because at some point the transmission will go up. And when it does, then we need to take more precautions. And this is what most of us have argued for is let's tailor our response to what the actual disease transmission is. And so mm-hmm. right now, if you're here in the Treasure Valley, the risk is pretty low. Now, does that mean that I would go into a big room of people who I don't know what their status is, be inside for a long time with them and not wear a mask? I wouldn't, but everybody needs to make their own risk assessment. Obviously, this is a very safe time to get together with friends, neighbors on your patio, you know, a yard party at the park, those kind of things. This is a very safe time to do that. This is a safe time for, relatively speaking, for your kids if they're over five and they've been vaccinated and you have a playmate that's, you know, is vaccinated also and they're feeling well and you know the parents would tell you if they weren't, that you could have a sleepover. This is a relatively safe time for grandparents to see those grandkids if the grandparent is fully vaccinated and boosted. So there's a lot more things that you can do right now that would not be such a good idea when transmission levels go up. What I would suggest is you do watch for our case counts. Understand, as we talked about in the prior segment, those are going to be underreported. But if you start seeing the number of daily case new cases per 100,000 going up on the Idaho website, and on that website you can actually look for your own county. But if you see those cases start going up now, then you know we're on our way up. And given that this BA2 is so much more transmissible than what we've dealt with in the past, it will likely go up very quickly. So that's the time when you start seeing that inflection and it's going up. That's when you want to start, taking much more precautions. Mm-hmm. I am not saying throw all precautions to the wind right now, but certainly those things that you would like to do, if you want to do some traveling to another area where you know the case counts are low, this is a good time to do it. Those kinds of things are things that can factor into your decision right now.
And let's get to some questions right now because we do have quite a few coming in. Dr. Pate, Margie wants to know, should a five-year-old who had COVID when she was four still get a vaccination?
Yes. I mean, obviously we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit because we need to see what the FDA authorization is and what the CDC recommendations are. But if you're talking about a child that is now eligible for vaccination, which if they're over five, they would be, yes, they should still get vaccinated. And the reason is that we're really getting some good studies lately that show us that the immune response from infection is quite different from the immune response to our vaccines. And in fact, there's even a little bit of difference of the immune response depending on which vaccine you get. So it's really complementary. The fact that the four-year-old had COVID now, if they get the COVID vaccine, one would be led to believe, based on what we know today, that they'll be even further protected than probably most of the children who get vaccinated who have not had COVID. Now, that is not an invitation for your children to carelessly or willfully get infected. I would want to say at the moment, we've got a lot of accumulating data that suggests some people will develop some not good things as a consequence of being infected. And I'm sure we don't even begin to know the half of it. So I don't think you want to take infection cavalierly. But on the other hand, this child will probably be even better off with the vaccine.
Jean wrote in, Dr. Pate, asking if it says, she says, Gemma, please ask Dr. Pate if he knows to what degree the second booster is designed to work against BA2.
Good question. You know, because a lot of these tests, it took some while to get the data. Most of the data that we're seeing was looking at the effectiveness of this second booster during BA1. However, all of the studies that we've done so far suggest that with respect to the immune protection, the vaccines work equally well as against BA2 as they did BA1. So based on making that interpolation, based on the studies we have, that second booster is going to help you significantly for BA2 should we have that surge, because one of the things that we do have to be concerned about is that if you are an old person like me, that it does appear that there is some waning of our immunity after mm-hmm. that first booster, if it's been 4 or more months ago, and for many of us it was. And there does seem to be, on the very preliminary data that we have so far, a clear benefit for older people to go ahead and get that second booster. And it should be very protective, not perfectly protective, but very protective against BA2.
Dr. Pate, we're getting some questions about travel. So Sherry says that they will be in France most of May. They're 71 and 76. They were boosted in the fall. She wants to know, Dr. Pate, would you advise a second booster before they leave the U.S.?
I would. I don't know when in May they're going, but we're probably talking about more than a month from now, so things can change a lot. But right now, France is one of the countries that is is in the top group of countries dealing with the BA2. So yes, I would not want, I'm assuming this listener is somebody that might be in that age group, maybe above mm-hmm. 60s.
They're 71 and 67.
Oh, yeah, then absolutely, without question. Yes, get it, and get it at least a couple weeks before you take the trip. The other thing to tell people that are planning on traveling, number one, we are starting to have some problems with airplanes again, since some of the airlines for some trips are not requiring masks, so be careful about that. Also, be careful to do your research about what country you're going to understand mm-hmm. what you're going to need in terms of documentation, what you might need in order to go to restaurants and go to public venues, and what would happen if you test positive while you're in their country, because that may lead to a much more forcible quarantine than what we do here in the United States.
That is good advice. And then Anne wrote in, she says, our daughter is just getting back from traveling in Central America. We're in our 70s. We live in the same house. How long should we mask when she gets back inside their home?
Well, you know, it's hard to say if masking is going to be enough. I think that it depends on where in Central America. If you look in Central and South America, there are some spots that are hotter than other spots. If she's coming from one of the higher disease transmission areas, then, it might be good to have her actually just stay in a hotel for several days and do some rapid tests or get a PCR test before she comes to your home. You know, the problem is in the household, it's really, one has to question how committed people will be to masking all the time, because you're going to have meals, I'm sure, and sitting together where you're going to have to take the mask off. So I think it would be better to have her tested before coming into the household.
Dr. Pate, Donna writes in and she says, after listening to our program, she plans to get her second booster tomorrow. She wants to know, Dr. Pate, have you gotten your second booster? Because you talked about getting it last week.
Yes, actually, I haven't got it yet, but I am scheduling it. I'm just waiting. My healthcare provider has to make a change to their computer system to be able to do it. And so I'm expecting that we will get our, that they'll be able to do this by the end of this week or beginning of next. So yes, we're in line to get it.
And Dr. Pate, we have a lot of questions, but I do want to talk about something that just came out recently. And this is the director of the CDC saying it's time to revamp after so much criticism from the public, but also from health officials on how they handled the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because it definitely seems that they lost a lot of credibility during the pandemic. I think some of that is political pressure, but some of it really is how they handled and mishandled getting information out.
Well, you're absolutely right, Gemma. And I very much welcomed the director's comments. And we have to understand, in this day and age, how often do we have leaders say, you know, maybe we could have done things differently and better. I don't hear that very often. So let me just first of all give her kudos for even admitting that there's a lot of room for improvement. Now, with that said, I also am a little worried that this is going to be a little too internal facing. By that, I mean, even though she couches this as an outside audit, it's one person, and one really has to question if one person can really give them a good assessment of all the different functionalities of the CDC. And it's somebody who is in a different government agency. And I would have liked it much better if it had been a panel of experts from a cross section of the real world, the state public health departments or local public health departments, doctors that have been on the front lines fighting this, et cetera. I think that would have been a far better approach. But on the other hand, I don't want to prejudge what's going to come out. Let's see what happens. But the other members of the group that are going to be devoted to this revamping are all people currently in the CDC. And it's just, the problem is you just have blinders on. And when you work in any place for a long time, and one of the people on this committee has been with the agency for decades, and the problem is you just get used to, well, this is how we've always done things, rather than having a fresh look. And so I do want to give them props. On the other hand, I worry that maybe they're not going to get broad enough impact. And I think the other thing is, and I looked at the list of areas that they're going to look at, they didn't specifically call out communication, which I think has been one of the biggest issues. Now, I hope that maybe it is implied in there, but that's another concern.
Dr. Pate, we have a question from a listener in regards to the second booster. So they write in basically wanting to know if people 12 and older will eventually need a second booster. I mean, because Dr. Pate, we do know that right now, if you're 12 and older and you're immunocompromised, you are recommended to get that second booster shot. But if, you know, for example, I have a 13-year-old, right? Almost 14. He was boosted. Do we know if they'll need that second booster at some point?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it is almost certain that they will, in fact, need a booster. I think what the FDA is grappling with, in fact, they're meeting on this today, is a second booster with what? So for those of us, the current recommendation is over 50. It's really based most strongly on data of people over 60. But for those of us that are older, it's very clear we should get it, and we should get it soon. And therefore, we have to go with what's available. With younger people, you know, while certainly we see breakthrough infections and all, we're not seeing them get very ill. And that's consistent with a lot of studies coming out right now that there is way more to your immune protection than these antibodies. And these other things that aren't antibodies are actually doing a heck of a good job. So they're going to keep you from getting severely ill or dying, most likely. But what we're looking at is, what should we do to just prevent people from getting reinfected? Because there's bad things that can happen just from infections. And what they're looking at is, should it be another boost for the younger people of one of the current vaccines? Should we be looking to a different kind of vaccine, maybe one that has a multiple of the variants in it, or the holy grail of what we're calling a pan coronavirus, which I don't think would be out anywhere near in time for when people are going to need a second booster. And of course, there's other things being looked at right now, including intranasal vaccines, which could be hugely important, especially for boosting a part of the immune system that particularly fights the virus right where it comes in. So I do think there will be a recommendation for younger people. I'm just not sure what that recommendation is going to be with. But yes, look for that sometime, probably over the summer to early fall.
I must say, it is fascinating as we continue to move through this, the advancements that continue to happen. It's really interesting to watch. As always, Dr. Pate, thank you so much for spending your Wednesdays with us. We're going on 2 years of this, Dr. Pate. Who knew, right?
Oh, my. Yes, I could not have imagined.
Me either. As always, a big thanks to Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. He'll be back next week. If you have questions, get them to us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Up next, we take a deep dive into a new CDC study about the mental health crisis facing kids right now.